Source Trunk, a weekly trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 5, recorded on Monday, the 23rd of October, 2006. This podcast will try to demystify the beautiful beast that is open source and show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I'll review two applications that are completely open source and have great features. For this episode, I will be drinking a Hapken. Hapken is a strong blonde beer. It is a beer that has to ripe in the bottle as well, as most of the good beers do. It has a very soft aroma. It's pretty strong as well. It's 8.5% of alcohol, and it has a nice, really, really white color. You have to keep this bottle standing up, so you can't put them down in the fridge. You have to serve them at 8 or 9 degrees, and you have to pour very, very slowly until you get that really nice white color. If you're pouring this, leave 1 centimeter in the bottle. That's the stuff that you don't want to drink with a Hapken. I once saw the guys at Dignations pour a Duvel in a glass. They just turned the bottle over into the glass, and it was just horrible. So please pour it very slowly. I'm going to give you a bit of a history, about this beer. I'll try not to be boring about it. It's originally from 1100, the year 1100, when Baudouin, the Earl of Robert II of Jerusalem, was count at the age of 18. And he constructed a very nice stronghold to keep the villains out and defend all his farmers. And he always carried a little axe with him, and that gave him his nickname, Baudouin Hapken. Then he had some monks, the Cistercians, who brew a beer for his people. I think people in those times really could use a good beer to forget their misery. And they made it as well for his fighters and warriors, to make them invincible. I can read that as drunk as a skunk and completely fearless. Stand still so I can chop both of your heads off. Something like that. Well, anyway, this beer was the foundation for the famous Hapken I'm having here in my hand. That was made by brewery Loage, and now since 2002, almost 1,000 years later, it's the brewery of Alken Maas who took over this really nice beer. Just going to take a sip, very fast. And I know this beer, it is really good. Let's go.
Multimedia software.
GQ View. The description. It's an image browser and a collection maker. So you can browse for images and you can make collections to go back to afterwards. I was really in need for a fast image browser, and it had to have the following features. It had to be fast, that's first. And I didn't want any slow processing of image files in the background. A lot of image browsers tend to hang a little bit before they show an image. I wanted to make collections, so I can easily go to, for example, a holiday or a project at work that I can just click on and see all the images of that project. It had to have a very simple interface, not too fancy, just a good browser. You had to. It had to be possible to export the files or edit the files. And did I mention it had to be fast? Yes, it really has to be fast. So I searched around a bit and I found GQ View. I'm going to open it here in front of me. And the first thing you get is a window with, on the left upper side, folders you can browse. On the downside, you have all the pictures you immediately see. You see the thumbnails of the pictures when you click a folder. And on the right pane, you, if you click a thumbnail, see the picture as a whole. Now, that's easy. That's not too fancy. That's not too special. Let me get down to the features of the program, and you'll see why this is a very nice viewer. You can, as stated, use a thumbnail list display, so you can see all the thumbnails in one window. You can, if you want to, float that thumbnail list, so you can have, if you click on one of the thumbnails, a completely separate window where you can see the big images in. It supports thumbnail caching, so it will make on the fly a thumbnail of that picture, so when you see it afterwards, you don't have to wait. And the waiting part, even when it is generating the thumbnails, is nothing. You really don't have to wait a long time. It's really, really fast. Then you have one-click file selection as well. You can zoom the image. You can zoom in, zoom out, fit to a window. You can have, of course, you can make slideshows, and you can set the timing for the slideshows. It supports a lot of image files. To keep it simple, if your operating system has libraries for a certain file, chances are that GQ View will most likely support it. If you want to, you can have basic file operations with it. You can create a directory, you can copy, move, rename. So you really can manage your images from within GQ View. There's drag and drop functionality. You can open, when you click contextual, when you have a contextual menu on an image, you can open the image in another editor. For example, I've got the GIMP set as one of the software applications that has to open a file when I contextual menu click it, and then it opens in the GIMP. I can edit it, I can change it, save it, and close it back and go back to GQ View, which is really nice. You have tab completion, so when you search for a folder, you can just hit tab and it will autocomplete the whole folder. And then you can make the collections, and that is really nice. So you can make a collection, make a new collection, and then you can drag files into that collection, or even better, you can just pick up a folder and drop it onto the collection. And when that folder has a lot of subfolders in it, which have a lot of subfolders in it, and so on, it will ask you if it has to recursively go down all the folders and process all the folders and put them in that new collection. You can have different collections. It's just a file, so you can put the collection somewhere and it will just open. You can have different folders with collections to keep it all nice and tidy. If you're not too fond of collections, you can use searching as well. Now, for searching, I have to tell you a bit about the fact that it supports EXIF. EXIF is the Exchangeable Image File Format. That's a standard for storing interchange information in image files. When you open an image file in some sort of viewer, you will sometimes see some information in it, like, for example, shutter speed or the camera with which you made it, or some offer information and stuff like that. Well, that's the EXIF information. You and your camera normally can store all sorts of information in the EXIF format, and GQ View supports that EXIF format. That makes that you can put keywords into the file, into the image file. So you can search for keywords, you can search for comments, so you can mark all your pictures so that they're easy to find. Another thing, you can have GQ View find duplicates. So if you upload the same image files, you can just have them removed because they are already there. You can have full screen viewing as well as the slideshow. It's, as I said, a very, very responsive program, and I'm going to come back to that responsiveness with very large files in a minute. It has a lot of language translations. You can have it in your own language. You can print from within GQ View. You can make proof sheets. It supports the thumbnail managing standard as well. And you can have command line control of an existing GQ view process. So you can start GQ view, you can just open one image with it, and then via the command line, you can just go next, back, you can do a slideshow, you can go full screen, all sorts of stuff. So you could even script the thing if you want to. Okay, now I told you that I was going to come back to the very responsiveness of this program, and that goes together with the negative aspects. I hate to talk about negative aspects. Let's call this section the wish list or things that could be improved, because it's negative is so negative. Okay, so the wish list, things that could be improved. And the first thing that struck me was that it didn't have RAW support. RAW is the format in which you can set your camera, and there will be no compression. There will be no compression of the picture, and you have better color management of that file. But those files can be humongous. Those files can be from 5 megabytes up to 12 megabytes, depending on your camera. And I'm using the NEF standard for Nikon cameras, and it wasn't supported. But that was before I checked the development release. The development release has full NEF support. Full RAW support. It's not on the most package managers of distributions. It's, for example, not in Ubuntu or Xubuntu. So I had to build it from source. The development release is built from source, and I must say, with full RAW and NEF support, it is still very, very, very fast. I can compare it with professional software we use at work. I can compare it with, for example, iPhoto, which is just a user software. iPhoto, for example, is extremely slow with RAW pictures. Professional software we use at work is PhotoWare is very slow with RAW pictures, are not even capable of processing RAW pictures. GQ View is perfectly capable of that. I'll give you some other features of the development release if you're interested. There are a lot of bug fixes, of course, more language translations. You can have pan view. That means you can display images as a timeline, a calendar, a folder tree, all sorts of things. You can do panning with the mouse wheel, which is also I'm boring you to death with this fast thing, but it's so fast, it's beautiful. And then you have, check out on the site the differences between the development release and the stable release, and building it from source is not that difficult. If you need it, just build it from source, because the development release is very good. Okay, the author is John Ellis. Some tips. If you really like the program, try to put some time in finding out which screen layout, which menu layout is the best for you, because you can tweak via the preferences, you can tweak all sorts of things, but you can tweak the menu, you can tell it where to put the thumbnails, where to put the picture window. I'll just go back to the preferences to give you some other things you can tweak. The thumbnail size default is 128 on 96, I think. You can go up to 256. You can have the cache for the thumbnails completely cleaned out. You can have different sorts of zooming, so we have better quality with zooming, or it will go slower. As I said, you can very easily choose where you want the menus, where you want the main window. There are different editors you can use. If you have an editor you really, really like, you can just put in the command line option to open that editor in here in the preferences, so your picture will open in that editor. There are a lot of advanced preferences you can use here, so really, really check it out. Now, the availability of the software is for X11 applications, so it's known to work on most BSDs. I think all Linux operating systems with the GTK Plus 2.4 or bigger toolkit. It isn't there for Microsoft Windows. Sorry, if you are on a Microsoft Windows machine, this app is not for you. If you know how to get it to run on a Microsoft Windows machine, please let me know at sourcetrunk@gmail.com. I would be really, really impressed, and I would like to have it working on a Windows machine. OS X, if you want, it's in the Darwin ports. It's a stable release in the Darwin ports, and it works very nice next to my ever so slow iPhoto. I think I'm going to use this one as a default picture organizer. Okay, latest release is the stable one, is the 2.0.2 from October the 14th this year. The development release is 2.1.2, also October the 14th. Where can you get it? It is available at gqview.sourceforge.net. The license is GNU General Public License. Now, you can support this application if you want to. You can donate via PayPal. The links are on the site, or you can just go to SourceForge and find the PayPal donation there. If you're a company, if you work for a company that uses this software, or you're a photographer who really likes this software and you have a bit of cash extra, please donate to this project. Donate at least a fraction of what you would have paid for professional software if this suits your needs, and check it out, because I think the chances are high it will. Okay, if I go too fast on the applications, please let me know, because I don't know if the speed is right. Just give me some tips. Nice apkin, really nice apkin. Okay,
system tools,
Memtest 86. What it is, I'll give the description from the site, because it's a really good one. Memtest 86, and I think most of you will know Memtest 86 if you're using a Linux distribution, but I digress. Memtest 86 is Varo standalone memory test for x86 architecture computers. BIOS-based memory tests are a quick, cursory check and often miss many of the failures that are detected by Memtest 86. Now, that's a very important point. BIOS checks can just go over a failure without a problem. Now, Memtest 86 is very thorough and will easily and very quickly spot a faulty memory board. Now, it's completely in NCURSUS. That means it's a command line, but with some extra lines, some borders in it, and some progress bars that are made from a little dash. As I said, most Linux distributions come with Memtest 86 on the installer or even on the boot up script. So when something is really fishy, you can first test your memory. I'll give you some practical examples. If your machine is behaving very odd, but you can't really reproduce it, sometimes it is, sometimes it not, then chances are high that you have a problem with your memory. And then it's very a very good idea to run Memtest 86. Another example is from my own experience. I had bought some memory from someone on eBay. It was really cheap, and I got it really fast here, and I was really disappointed because my computer was behaving very, very weird. And so I completely launched a mem test on it, and it showed red all over the tests, so I immediately knew it was a waste of my money. I even remember on a second-hand computer fair seeing a little boy of maybe 11 years of age, couldn't be more than 11, who was sitting at a little table, and he had several motherboards and a video card and a computer screen, and he used Memtest 86 to test the memory people had just bought secondhand, and he was charging a euro to test the material. So you could just go over and hand it over and say, well, I just bought that piece of memory, can you check it out so I can just return it before I go home? And there was really a line. That kid was making really, really good money. I should have thought of that when I was his age. It was really, really getting a lot of people to test it. So memtest 86 should spot an error immediately. So I think I described all the features. A very nice feature as well is the fact that you can download a bootable memtest 86 CD-ROM. So you just have to make an ISO, you can pop it in any machine without installing software and just do the mem test and see if the memory is all right. Negative aspects, haven't found anything negative about this very solid and very age-tested software. I mean age-tested, I mean it's been tested for a lot of years, it's been there for a lot of time, so a long time, so it's really good. The author is Chris Brady, and I also have to mention some other people. Doug Sisk, who does the console support, Rick van Rijn, he does the bad RAM patterns, Jani Averbach for the screen buffer code, Eric Biederman for feature content, bug fixes, cleanup, and Samuel de Meulemeester for enhancements to hardware detection and reporting. Availability. Everything that is Unix, BSD, Linux, and Windows. Yes, people, you can use it on Windows as well. Latest release is 3.2, and that was released on the 11th of November 2004, and it's still very useful. Where to get it? You can get it from memtest86.com. License, GNU General Public License as well. How can you support it? Well, you can support it as well by donating via PayPal to Chris Brady. And I'm just going to read the little snippet he put on his nice site for Memtest 86, because it really states why he wants support and how humble he is about the program. Here it is. With considerable reluctance, I am resorting to a low-key solicitation for donations. It never has been my intent to profit from this program, and I am pleased that Memtest 86 has been helpful. However, the time required to support this program has grown significantly. So he just has, that's me talking again, he just has a little PayPal button on it. And please, if you use the program and you really like it, just support a guy. Okay. Listener feedback. I got some reactions from people who wanted to know where I find all that software. Do I just browse the net and type in Google open source and free software, stuff like that? No, actually I don't. As a lot of people, I just use two major sites that are freshmeat.net and sourceforge.net. Freshmeat.net doesn't only lists open source software, but as well free software, as well licensed software with trials. SourceForge.net lists all the open source software. On both sites, you can just browse for your software. You can browse by category. You can browse by operating system. You can even select sort by relevance or popularity on FreshMeat. So that makes it very, very nice to search for lovely software. Go and check it out on freshmeat.net and sourceforge.net. I got a reaction from Hari Nair. He's the author of XPlanet. And he was glad I didn't have any negative points about XPlanet. He sure knew he could think of a few, so he was nice I didn't do that in his place. He had one comment. I mentioned that the cloud maps were from the Space Science and Engineering Center at the University of Wisconsin. Well, they produce very small maps, and so he's now taking the maps, the larger maps, from the University of Dundee. Thought I would mention that. We still get a lot of reactions from the people of System Trash. Let me thank you for the nice feedback we get for the things we did for System Trash. If you read all those mails, one really regrets putting an end to it, but really we had to. So thank you for all the nice feedback, and thank you for all the thumbs up and good luck for the other projects we are doing now. Okay, let's wrap it up. Leave your comments on sourcetrunk.com or mail me directly on sourcetrunk@gmail.com. The theme song of this podcast is by Brand New Sin, and it's called Freight Train. You can find them on music.podshow.com. I'm leaving you with Summertime by Brother Love. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
When I was young.
It's a